Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
What is it about Bill that makes you feel so strongly about this?
Man, it's just, you know, I don't really like all the flack he's been getting. Because it's on us as players to go out there and execute. And, you know, I personally feel like the game plan has been phenomenal week in and week out. And when we had the opportunities to make the plays, we didn't make them. But we made enough tonight. So, you know, we're going to correct this tape, you know, get our bodies back and move on to KC.
That is New England Patriots safety. And dare I say, one of the leaders of the 2023 Patriots. Now, you may say, well, are you sure leadership is one of the things that should be on display or discussed on this team? Yes, I do, especially when he balls out and shows up each and every week. That's Jabril Peppers. Go Blue. He's excited for January 1st, just like I am and so many other people. After a big night, saying how badly he wanted this win tonight because he knew how much Bill Belichick deserved it. They didn't like the flack that he was getting. This one was for Belichick as much as it was everyone else on the team. And you got to think, you know what? It's pretty excellent for him to get it, and it's good that they are happy for their coach. Oh, yeah, indeed. It is the Six Rings postgame show coming to you live into the wee hours after a Thursday Night Football affair on Amazon Prime Video. It's Fitzy. It's John Lyons filling in tonight for Andy Hart and producer Joe Braverman with you till 2 a.m., You can holler at us anytime, 617-779-7937. There's your telephone number. I got to get back to the phones. We got a couple people that have been holding on, John, for a while. So I want to let them get their 2 cents in so they can get to bed, and then you and I can really start breaking some important elements down. Let's go to, first, we got David in Florida. Good morning, David.
Good morning to you. How many cups of coffee have you had so far?
Not enough. I'm feeling it since I've been up since 6 a. So I'm actually I may pull a 24 hour straight. But you know what? That's I'm willing to go that length for you, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate it so much. Zappy, first of all, he's just as horribly inconsistent as 90% of the other quarterbacks in the league.
Well, considering 53 quarterbacks have started so far this year and there may be more soon, my friend, that's what you get.
Yeah. But I mean, I want to. As horrible as the offense has been this year, I mean, what would you give Bill O'Brien for a grade? I mean, I'd give him at best a C. And I mean, tonight's game. I mean, I don't think the game plan conceptually. I thought it was pretty good conceptually, but the things that bothered me is the run game. Why was everything up the middle? And, I mean, if you're going to emphasize the run game, you can still vary things. I mean, jet sweeps, A-gap, B-gap, C-gap, put two men in the backfield. The play calling, running, was everything was out the middle. Everything. And it's just so predictable. Even, I just don't get it. O'Brien has not... has not been anything near what we expected him to be. And that's just very aggravating, too.
Well, David, appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. I think too much, actually, while Bill O'Brien was viewed as the savior and everyone was so happy to have him coming off of last year's as I called it, John, the reverse engineered offense coming from a defensive coordinator turned offensive play caller with Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, and Bill Belichick. I think, first of all, just Bill O'Brien showing up on the scene with his resume, his previous success in Foxborough, and his competence, that was already a win for the Patriots. But still, people were heralding him as the second coming. He'd fix Mac Jones. The Patriots offense would be back to where it was in 2011. There was a lot more talent on that team as well. You didn't have Tom Brady. You didn't have Aaron Hernandez. You didn't have the ascendant juggernaut of Rob Gronkowski and others like
Wes Welker, Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, Wes Welker, who, by the way,
had a good offensive line.
Yeah, monster seasons. Welker had monster seasons under Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien doesn't have half of that to work with this year, and they have a quarterback situation that still hasn't settled and sorted itself out. You just happen to have a backup that played a good game tonight, or at least one really excellent first half after getting shut out at home and then kind of getting... Actually, Bailey Zappe, since he's taken over as a starter, has been shut out in three halves. He just happened to have had one awesome half of football. But what would I give Bill O'Brien so far this year? C, maybe C minus. I mean, it's hard to give him... I can't give him much worse because doesn't have much to work with. But at the same time, I can't give him much higher because the results aren't there.
Yeah, I lean towards like a C because when you look at the Patriots offense this year, I mean, they've tried deep passes. They've tried intermediate passes. They've mm-hmm. tried short passes, screen passes, inside runs, outside runs, gap runs, power runs, jet sweeps. They've tried just about everything you can try. Could they maybe throw a trick play in here and there? Sure. But for the
most
part,
it takes so long to develop and your line play has been so shoddy, John.
Right. I mean, it feels like he's trying everything, but it's almost like they've had a different calamity every week. Like week one against the Eagles, you had that 70-yard pick six Mac Jones threw, and then Kayshon Booty not getting his feet in bounds. But then, you know, week two against Miami, you had your offensive line make Andrew Van Ginkle look like an all-pro off the edge. So it's like you've had different then you had Mac Jones against Dallas, but you had bad offensive line play in other weeks. You had receivers drop passes against Washington. You've had them drop other passes too. But like it feels like when even one part of the offense has gotten on track this year, then other parts let it down. Like the offensive line, once they moved Mike Onwenu to right tackle, started to get a little bit better. And I think for the most part, it's been better. But then Mac Jones completely imploded even after that happened. So it's like, it's tough for me to put a lot of blame on Bill O'Brien, considering just the sheer lack of talent and lack of consistency he's had to work with. The one game I look at for Bill O'Brien, that Giants game when they were running the ball so effectively and you had a dismal quarterback situation and he still threw the ball more than he ran the ball. Like, that's the one game where I'm like, oh, I think Bill O'Brien played a larger role in them losing than in other ones. But, like, he hasn't been great, but I also don't think he's been terrible either. He doesn't have a lot to work with.
He is hardly the person I would point to first and say, there's the reason why the Patriots haven't been able to win, folks. There's the reason why you've got one of the worst offenses in the NFL this year or in Patriots history. It's Bill O'Brien's fault. No, I mean, look, Alabama fans will jump all over him, and he's probably got plenty of detractors in Houston as well, even maybe in Patriots Nation prior to this season. But it is weird, and it's a shame that all three phases cannot seem to operate harmoniously and productively at the same time. But I would not put him... I don't even know if he would sniff the top three if I was power ranking the problems the Patriots have had this year.
I would say like offensive line one, quarterback two, receivers three. And if you want to flip-flop quarterback and O-line, like I can accept that. But you're right. Like if I made a list, I just named three, he wasn't one of them.
No. So, and they certainly were running where they were running for a reason because they thought they thought obviously that was where their bread was going to get buttered as well. T.J. Watt got dinged up on that first play of the game when they ran outside, and Zeke ended up kneeing him in the chops and kind of bloodied his mouth. He wasn't concussed and was able to come back in the game, but they were able to contain him to a decent degree. Cam Hayward usually patrols the middle of the Steelers' defense. That's not necessarily something that I would run into on a regular basis. They had some success early. Obviously, later in the game, they didn't, but you had to expect that the Steelers' defense was going to strike back at some point. Like, they weren't going to look the way that they looked for the majority of the first half. Two things can be true at the same time. The Steelers can bend and break. The Steelers can also dominate as well, and they did a little bit of both tonight. I'm sure they're probably talking about what an uneven performance it is and how ignominious it is, John, that they lost two games in a row to teams that were 2-10 and 8 games under 500. It's truly a head scratcher. Back to the phones we go, John. Let's welcome one of our favorites. This may be one of your first times you've had a chance to talk to him, especially on the postgame show. Wayno in Southie. He's up late. He's on the postgame show.
Hey,
Wayno, how are you feeling about
up,
this?
Baby, hey, listen. I know. I got to get my 3 points, but let me say this real quick, too. All right. We had a great game, pretty much. Bailey, he is not astonished in me. He did all right, okay? I'll give him that. He needs a lot more training, okay? But did you see that hit, Fitzy, when it was like three plays in, and Elliott came flying up, and the guy, what's his name, Watt, tried to hit him, and he flipped over, and his chest went boom, and he got his tooth knocked out. That's why he was on the bench getting the tooth. And for the rest of the game, if you watched it, he didn't really engage like he was doing for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. So Zeke did what he had to do. He took him out. And that was a big play in that game, brother, because they took him out. He's a beast. I give it to him.
But he was one of the better defensive players in the NFL for sure, Wayno.
Exactly. Did you see the hit I'm talking about, Fitz?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course I did. Yeah, we were just referencing that moments ago, Wayne. But let me ask you, are you full well understand how much work the Patriots have ahead of them? You are as diehard and loyal as any Pats fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, this season's over. This season was over five weeks ago. It's over.
Right. Are you one of those guys where it's like, hey, I'm happy we won tonight, but also...
No. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy because I don't like being aggravated and I'm not going to get angry. So we won the game. I'm still, no. I'm going to be positive. I like to be more positive like you. Yeah, I look up to my boy right there, Fitzy. He's positive. Even though we're losing. We know the season's over. You know what I mean, Fitzy? Let him see. This is what I want. I want Malik Cunningham out there, and I want to see what he's about. Because I watched him in college ball, and he was a beast. I don't know why Belichick is holding on to this beast. Let him out there. Let's see it. He can rip and tear it up. You know what I mean? He's a younger guy. He's in that new, you know what I mean? They're like, that's what I'm saying. Belichick is so old. He can't, some of these guys, he can't, I don't know how to say it, but he can't get along. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yep. I know you have been banging the drum, Wayno, for Malik, like a lot of other people. And thanks for the call, brother. Get some sleep and rest well and enjoy your victory Friday, even though you're technically into it right now because it's 12:41 a.m., Wayno. There's a lot of people that have been banging the drum. I know Rob Ninkovich and his pal and partner Dan O'Brien on the Dan and Ninko show have been begging for Malik for a while. A lot of people wanted to see him. John, why do you think, though, there have been, you know, we were promised last week, or at least we believe, there were hints and allusions toward perhaps that there was a Malik package. He's been active. He's been on the game. He was elevated for this evening, correct?
I think he was the second QB.
Yeah, he was on the active roster.
Yeah, he was.
I was elevated again tonight.
Yeah.
Why no Malik action? Why no unique Malik? Why no?
I mean, so, like last week, I would have put him out there. I mean, you didn't even get to the red zone. You know what I mean?
Nope.
But I think there's two real reasons to me. One is, let's be honest, the one time he did get in a regular season game against the Raiders, it looked bad. I mean, he made the wrong read on a run play, and then on his lone pass snap, he looked total, and the offensive line was overwhelmed, but he looked overwhelmed.
Everyone played poorly.
But I think the other side of this, too, and I've heard a lot of people say, oh, play Malik a bunch of snaps, play him most of the game or half the game. Look, this guy has inconsistently practiced a quarterback. He's practiced more at wide receiver than he has a quarterback. He is not ready to play a lot of snaps at quarterback, and I really believe that if you, and look, I'm okay with a package of plays, 3-4 plays, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you throw him out for 15 snaps, 20 snaps in a game, I really think you could do long-term damage to him moving forward. Because if he goes out there and he's barely been practicing at this position and he's not fully ready to go and he gets lit up, we're going to see a long-term detriment to his career. If that's how we start, because we already saw negative plays when he went against the Raiders. If we continue to see more of that, it's going to hurt him and the team, because I think this is a guy that, when he does develop, could be a nice piece for this team to have. But it's not going to happen if he gets pushed in too early and he gets lit up. So would I like to see 4 or 5 plays from him? 100%. Could he help him in short yardage, like when they had the tush-push attempt sneak tonight that didn't work at the end of the game? yeah, I would like to see that, but I don't want him thrown in there for 15, 20, 25 snaps. I think that would do more harm than good for the long term.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes with more of your phone calls. John and I will speak with Mike Cadlick from WEEI.com at 1 o'clock. We'll also get a little bit into the draft as well, take a long look at the rest of the season, what we think will happen, what can expect, who do we want to stick around. Maybe John will even treat us to a John Lyons edition of Thumbs Up and Thumbs Down on the night. Who do we think really showed up and balled out? Who left a little bit to be desired? We'll get to the Cars for Kids player of the game. What a good time on ice it is right here till 2 a.m. on the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Now, back to the Six Rings postgame show on WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest part was the relationships that I've grown with, you know, these guys over the last year and a half, 2 years. To be able to be coached by the greatest coach of all time, Coach Belichick, just to learn from him. You know, for me, it was an easy decision. Be able to have the opportunity to play here, you know, win games here for the Patriots was, you know, it was awesome, awesome feeling, and it's, you know, something I've dreamed of since I first started playing.
New England Patriots quarterback Bailey Zappe appearing on Amazon Prime's postgame show with a cast of thousands, with some Patriots fans behind him in Pittsburgh. Hopefully someone gets that guy in Iron City and maybe a Permane Brothers with some French fries on it and going downtown. Actually, he's probably already on the airplane flying home right now, so he can get some beauty rest. And perhaps, I'm not sure exactly what the schedule is, John. We've got our big America's broadcast. I was going to say tomorrow, but actually it's just later today, coming to you from the Harp at Patriot Place in celebration of the Army-Navy game. I'll be there with Keefe and Mego and Arcand and Jones and Fourier and Curtis and basically almost the entire staff of WEEI mixing and matching throughout the afternoon.
I'm not going to be there. What the heck?
No, you get KJ and Lyons at 6 p.m., though.
Oh, you guys are filling in for Keith tomorrow night.
Yeah,
nice.
6 p.m. KJ.
I love that you're look at you double dipping on a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, huh? That's how winning is done right there, my friend.
By the way, Fitzy, where was my invite then, if the whole staff is going to be there?
Well, I mean, okay. Well, Joe, we have a meeting scheduled for 2:05.
I get it. So it got lost in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. Just like all those invites. So I'm not sure if exactly it's going to be a Patriots Monday on a Friday tomorrow. I don't know if Bill Belichick is going to speak with Greg Hill Show in just 6-7 hours from now. I'm not sure if we would have Bailey Zappe on the afternoon show, but we certainly will have plenty to chew over. I bet all the programming, all the plans, John, that were made by everybody celebrating the further demise of the Patriots, Patriots stink, the Patriots belong in the tank, all that, that everyone had planned, their headlines and everything else, kind of got kicked to the side tonight, which is a bit of a surprise. And as we go back to the phones, here's someone who's not too happy about the Patriots winning tonight. Let's go to the West Coast. Some say it's the best coast. Mac is in Oakland. How are you, Mac? Welcome.
Lyons, Fitzy, good to talk to you guys.
You too, buddy.
So, you know, this is going to sound weird, but so 3 years ago, on Monday Night Football, they're in the Cam year. They won a Monday Night Football against the Jets. You know,
yep.
Just time expired. You guys remember that?
Didn't Jacoby Myers have like 16 catches in that game or something?
Yeah, and also that was one of the big kick
Nick
games where he hit a 50-yarder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rich Keefe, of all people, is on record as saying, as a tweet immediately following that, saying what an awful win that was, because had they lost that game, they were probably going to run the table as far as losses. And people forget how close this franchise came to having the one or two pick on that in that case. And Lions, I got it. Respectfully, I got to disagree with you a little bit. You said earlier that generally tanking doesn't work, and I got to tell you, you know, I don't have like the seven or eight examples, but of Hartwood here, I've listened to him rattle off like seven or eight examples of, you know, of that working. Luck for one, the 09 Celtics for another. Like they tanked the year before and they didn't get the number one pick, but they got the five, but that's what paved the way for the trade they made and ended up winning the championship the next year.
You could go with the Spurs going for Wemby.
The Spurs, absolutely. And the reason I just bring that up is because
Houston Astros.
Listen, I'm a Patriots fan at my heart, and Houston Astros, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect examples. And so, like, I think if you look at the big picture, like, this team, you know, pardon my French, but this team sucks. They're not going anywhere. This team is, you know, they're, and so a 3 or 4 or 5 win team this year would be disastrous and set this franchise back again by, you know, 5, 6, 7 years longer. I mean, you know, the writing's on the wall. Belichick's about to leave. Other things are about to fall apart. Why not, you know, if you're – I understand the coaches and players aren't wired that way, mm-hmm. but if you are, like, Kraft, you know, and things like that, I understand that, you know, you might have a different, you know, a different agenda in mind and looking past the future and not just say, listen, 3-4 wins does not help this franchise at all. It's a good win, good for the confidence of Zappe going forward, but I just think this really is not what you want and how the franchise, it's not good for success long term. If you understand the big picture, this does not bode well for them, in my opinion.
I hear you loud and clear, Mark. We can either agree or agree to disagree on that one, but we do appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much. That's going to be the question. That is now, John, I think, you know, of the many questions, you know, the what do we do with Mac Jones or what happens with him? What becomes a Mac Jones? That's a tomorrow and down the road discussion. The what the hell is wrong with the Pittsburgh Steelers and how come they can't play the Patriots and how bad is their play calling? That sounds like an OPP and other people's problem, not an OP and our problem. But will this win be good or bad for the franchise going forward? Like, is it a morale booster for the guys that are going to stick around? Is this something that helps convince ownership that Bill Belichick can figure things out? Is this something that makes those guys want to play harder and you figure out who are some of the keepers for the team next year and beyond? Or is it bad because ultimately they end up missing out on the guy that they should draft who could be a stud tackle, receiver, or most importantly, franchise quarterback, which they so desperately need? I think that is going to be the, I'll say, million-dollar question. I'm not going to show my age and say $64,000 question. That'll be the million-dollar question going forward.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for the call, Mark. And I got to say, Fitzy, on sports radio in Boston, we had a respectful disagreement. Don't see that all the time on sports radio.
Isn't that nice, actually? No, elevated voices, and harsh tones.
Here's my point to Mark, because he brought up, like, the Celtics, and he brought up some. I think football is different, right? Because when you look at, just take the NBA for a minute. Like, the Cleveland Cavaliers have one bad season in 2002, 2003. They draft LeBron, one guy, their whole franchise has changed. Doesn't really happen as much in the NFL. Even you look at
there's
the Houston
no LeBron
Texans.
In the NFL right
well,
now.
Well, but yeah. you even look yeah. at the Houston Texans this year with C.J. Stroud. Well, they also traded up and drafted Will Anderson third overall. And they got a new head coach who looks like he's pretty good. And they have some, you know, good pieces kind of already in place there. And they signed Jimmy Ward. So, yeah, C.J. Stroud is the most important guy there. And he's great. And I'd love to have him on the Patriots. But them having, like, a bad tank season is not the only reason why they've gotten better. They had to do a lot more work than that. And I think if you look at the NFL specifically, it's a lot different than the NBA where one guy can make a huge difference on your team. I mean, look at the Celtics here. What if they, you know, if the Brooklyn Nets hadn't been awful, what if they wouldn't have Jason Tatum? It's a totally different team. The NFL, right. And we can get into this more after I know we have Mike Hadler coming on soon. It's just different to me when it comes to tanking. And there's a lot of examples of teams that think they're going to tank for a year or two. And 15 years later, they're still trying to find that elusive quarterback.
Yeah, it's if you can clearly identify the guy that you want and you can see a path to getting there, even when you've got an odd set of circumstances like a Chicago Bears team that has what they thought was going to be a franchise quarterback, that now, if we're to believe the stories that have been published recently or the rumors that are swirling around the interwebs, that they're out on him and they are going to be drafting a quarterback, and they happen to have the benefit of multiple draft picks, or at least one at the top that wasn't theirs, which is going to allow them to get that guy. Like, if you could identify your guy, then go after him and get him. And then maybe you have to try to figure out a couple things to do and you sneakily make a few moves. They're not going to be, there is no Curtis Painter. I mean, I guess if you want to start Malik Cunningham and lose out on every game, fine. There is no Curtis Painter in the suck for luck campaign from 12 years ago that's available to the Patriots now. You're also talking about an ownership that probably realizes they need to get a new quarterback and bring a lot of new shiny effective parts in here, but they just want to win a freaking game. They want to put some asses in the seats. They need something joyful around the stadium, which has felt just morose, if not morbid, for far too long this year. And you've got Bill Belichick. I don't know if he's part of the solution, the problem, the equation, where he is next year. There is no tank in that guy. He's never going to openly do it for himself, and especially if ownership is going to move on from him in the offseason and bring someone else in. So, John, you're right. You outlined all of it and then some. It's just a very difficult premise in the NFL as opposed to the NBA for sure. And by the way, as Joe Braverman pointed out while we had Mark from Oakland on the phone, it's not exactly like the Spurs, though they got Wemby by playing garbage basketball last year. It's not exactly like they've been lighting the NBA on fire this year.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
15 straight losses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be good in the long run anyway. But it's just like, look at in your division. I mean, how many years did it take Miami to find their quarterback after Dan Marino? It was like a 25-year process. I mean, do you want to go through that? I mean, how long did it take the Buffalo Bills to go from Jim Kelly to Josh Allen? Like franchise quarterback to franchise quarterback. Like
how many J.P. Lossmans and Trent Edwards and E.J. Manuals and Nate Peterman?
All due respect to Drew Bledsoe, too. Like something that takes – first of all, it's very difficult to find a franchise quarterback, I know. But if you just say, oh, we're going to lose and get one, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll get Trevor Lawrence. But even Mac Jones's draft, I mean, everyone talked about, oh, this is going to be one of the best quarterback drafts ever. Five first-round guys. Fitzy, one of those guys is good. I mean, Zach Wilson stinks. Trey Lance has been traded. Justin Fields, serious question marks. And Mac Jones is probably not going to be here next year. So we're talking one of those five in that great QB draft is actually good. So, again, I want a new quarterback next year. I think they'd be – if they had the top two pick, which Mark in California, don't worry, they're still top two pick after this game. But it's just something you got to it's just not as easy in football as it is in other sports.
Exactly, though they do control their own density at this point, if you will. The games do get tougher.
I think they control their destiny, not their density.
That was actually a Back to the Future. You know, most of my references go to the 1980s, Joe. That was George McFly. He says, I am your
I'm just
density.
Pointing out to our audience that that was a intentional thing that you just did.
Yes, it was. And hopefully for all the boomers and the old folks and the people that are approaching the half-century mark out there, they got it. If not, thank you very much, Joe Braverman, the youngster who is half my age, for explaining that to people, as I take far too many 80s references for granted. 617-779-7937 is your number. Heading into the third and final hour of the Six Rings postgame show. When we come back from WEI.com, it's our guy Mike Cadlick joining me, John Lyons, and Joe Braverman here on the Six Rings postgame show.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.